Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the NTRA pre-Kentucky Derby call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, participants are asked to press star 1 to register for a question. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to introduce your host, Mr. Jim Mulvihill. Please go ahead, sir.
All right. Thank you, Michelle, and welcome everyone to today's NTRA National Media Teleconference, previewing the 142nd Kentucky Derby, which is now only 11 days away. At this point, the field's set, barring any late defections. Over the next several days, the action will mostly be in the mornings as all these contenders put in their final timed works, mostly over the Churchill Downs surface. The post-position draw will be a week from tomorrow. That's Wednesday, May 4, at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and that'll be live on the NBC Sports Network. That show will kick off more than 13 hours of racing coverage from Churchill Downs by the NBC Sports Group, including Oaks Day and Derby Day undercard coverage on the NBC Sports Network, and then Kentucky Derby 142, of course, on the flagship NBC Network. You can find the hours for all those live broadcasts on the announcement that Jones sends out about these teleconferences, so please check for those, and we appreciate any time you can mention the TV schedule in your stories or elsewhere. And more importantly, the fans appreciate it as well. Also note that our pal Steve Bick is already live from Churchill Downs every morning from 10 to 1 Eastern Time on Sirius Channel 220 and XM 206, and he's always got some of the best informed and most high-profile guests to keep you up to date on everything Derby-related. There's also a ton of great coverage from the Horse Racing Radio Network. That's on Sirius Channel 220 and XM 206 and archived at horseracingradio.net. Now, later in this call, we're going to be joined by Kieran McLaughlin, trainer of Mohaman, who got positive reviews for his first work at Churchill Downs last week, as well as Steve Asmussen, trainer of the Louisiana Derby winner Gunrunner and Arkansas Derby winner Creator. And just yesterday, it was announced that Steve will be inducted into the National Museum of Racing's Hall of Fame later this year. So we've got a ton of ground to cover with those two gentlemen, but first, we're delighted to be joined by the trainer of the Derby favorite. Doug O'Neill has done a masterful job of managing Nyquist. He was the Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner, the two-year-old champion, and remains undefeated through seven starts, including, of course, the Florida Derby last time out. And you'll recall that the Nyquist team, Doug, as well as jockey Mario Gutierrez and owner Paul Redham, they won the 2012 Kentucky Derby with I'll Have Another. Doug O'Neill, are you with us?
Yes, Jim, that's so good. What a nice lead-in. Thank you.
Well, it's all fact. You've had an incredible run the past several years, and we're always glad to have you on here with us. So appreciate the time this morning.
Of course. Thank you. And as everyone knows, that you're only as good as your horse. So just so honored to be representing Nyquist on this phone call, and thanks for having me.
Oh, of course. And if you're only as good as your horse, then you're pretty damn good right now. So why don't you tell us what the vibe's like in the Team O'Neill camp these days? I mean, you must be pleased with how he's coming into this Derby, and just tell us how it feels around the barn.
You know, we got a really good vibe. You know, everybody's very optimistic, and, you know, we've all been in it long enough to know you don't want to get too high or too low, and, you know, it's all, at this point, it's just keeping all the horses injury-free and just keeping them on that, you know, that forward motion and keeping them on track for May 7th, but I'm still in California. I think I'm going to go this afternoon. I was planning on going Thursday, but I can't help myself. But I need everything's going good here in Southern California, and so I think I'll be at Keeneland tomorrow is the plan.
Excellent. Well, before we get to the media, I just wanted to ask you about the impressions of Nyquist so far. I mean, it's interesting to me that, you know, on paper we've got you know, what looks like a super horse, an undefeated champion. But when it comes to the Derby, everybody wants to be a contrarian and be more clever than the next guy. So I'd just like to get your take on whether he is or is not getting the respect that he deserves, given what he's accomplished. And then maybe secondly, whether you even care about all that.
I mean, you do. You know, I think I'm guilty of being a contrarian, too. I think that's the beauty of all sports, is that, you know, you can always find a reason to knock, you know, a favorite or knock a team or a horse that's on a current roll. So that doesn't bother me. it does bother me when you read an article and they're knocking them. It's like they're knocking your family member. But but no, I think it's great. Whenever you line up 20 of the best three-year-olds from around the world, I mean, you really don't necessarily have to be the best horse, but you got to be, you know, the luckiest horse, because a lot of these horses, you're splitting hairs on the talent level. There's so many talented horses, and Nyquist has been fortunate enough to hit the wire first in all seven of the starts, and we're optimistic he can keep it going.
And does any of that optimism come from the work at Keeneland on Saturday? I mean, he worked in company with Rallis, and just tell us what you feel like he got out of that effort.
You know, I really liked what I saw, and you know, even going into the Florida Derby, you know, when we breathed him 5/8 and he went 103 and changed, and I had a lot of people say, how could you go 103, you know, his last work before one of his biggest races to date was the Florida Derby. So, you know, the way we have trained Nyquist, it's really been more of a lot of strong gallops. His works are such that he's galloping strong going into the work. He's galloping out of the work. So not really looking for any speed works. And, again, a great horse like Nyquist and some of these others, you could train them probably 100 different ways, and they're going to win despite you, you know. But, you know, I think what we saw the other day is kind of what we've been seeing all along. So we're very happy with where we're at.
Very good. Well, Doug, I'm going to open it up to the media, and so let's check with Michelle and see what they've got for you.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you have signaled for a question prior to hearing these instructions on today's call, please repeat the process now by pressing star 1 again to ensure our equipment has captured your signal. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone the opportunity to signal for questions. Our first question will come from Danny Brewer of HorseRacingScoop.com. Please go ahead.
Hey, Doug. How's it going, man?
Great, Danny. How you doing, bud?
Good, good. Hey, what do you think has been the key to finding this training happy place for Nyquist?
You know, I think the key has just been keeping him happy, like you say, letting him put his feet where he wants to put them. And, you know, just I think probably a lot of it goes to Elias, his groom, who's just, you know, he's such a great horseman, but he's so kind and quiet in the stall with him. And I think that really helps Nyquist build his confidence. And then Johnny Garcia is just, you know, he's like LeBron James at the end of the game. He's just got ice in his veins, and he does all the right things on his back every day. And that's been a huge help. So, but again, I think Nyquist is just a very special horse, and you know, we're doing one thing with him, but you could probably do about 10 other things with him, and you still got an amazing horse.
Confidence in him and the whole team obviously has been a big key to getting where you're at right now.
I think so. You know, we got a real positive vibe around the barn, and you know, like every other barn, things don't always go right on a daily basis. And, you know, we all have enough experience and enough confidence in each other that we make adjustments. You know, we just try to react accordingly to things. So, I think, you know, a large part of Nyquist's success has just been the positive team surrounding him and, you know, led by Elias, of course.
When does he go to Churchill?
The plan is for him to work Friday and have him work well, come out of it well, and then go Saturday.
Awesome. Outstanding. Hey, wish you the best of luck, Doug. Look forward to seeing you.
You too, brother. Take care, Danny. Thanks, man.
Thank you. The next question comes from Art Wilson, the Southern California News Paper Group, please go ahead.
Hey, Doug.
Hello, Art.
Hey, you had that small health scare with Nyquist a few days after the Florida Derby. Songbird, the Oaks favorite, got knocked out of the Oaks because of an illness. How stressful and worrisome stuff like that for you as a trainer? You might have the Derby favorite one morning, and then the next morning you show up at the barn and he's out of the race. How stressful is that as a fur trainer?
It is. You know, it'd be like having a manager having Clayton Kershaw, and you're so fired up, and then he gets hurt, and you look down at the bullpen, you don't get anybody left down there. So, it's one of those that, and I can't stress it enough, and I tell the team, that's why we never try to get too high, at least in public, and never try to get too low when things happen, because it's, injuries happen in sports, and, you just got to be very lucky to keep a horse healthy and injury-free as you move forward in a direction with a horse like Nyquist. So, having the 5 weeks from the Florida Derby to the Kentucky Derby, we really liked that because we thought if we had any hiccups, we had time to get them right. So, like you say, having that little, what it turned out to be just kind of like a little shipping fever for him. So he didn't really set us off track a little bit, but he had to run, we ran some antibiotics through him and made sure his blood was perfect before he went back to the track, but it is. I'd be lying if I said every day you don't kind of walk down the shutter one eye open, one eye closed, especially as the longer you're in it and the more you see, the more nerve-wracking it can be. But, we're very optimistic with Nyquist that we're heading the right way.
The Derby, with it being, normally a 19-20 horse field, the distance, the fact that it's still early in the three-year-old year and the horses are so still inconsistent, I had a European trainer tell me once he thought the Derby was the toughest race in the world to win. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I haven't ran anything in Europe, but for him to say that, I respect that. It's definitely the hardest race to win in the U.S., I think, because of, just like you said, none of the horses in the field have run that distance yet. None of them have faced that many competitors. So there's so much goes into it luck-wise. You have to have a clean trip, and then even if you get a clean trip, you got to have a horse that can go a mile and a quarter no matter what time it is. It's phenomenal to get these guys to still be running on through the lane in a race like that. So it is very challenging, and what I love about Nyquist's chances is he's won from the rail, he's won from the 12-hole, he's won wire to wire, he's won from just off the pace, so to me he's got enough, he can call audibles, or Mario can call audibles as the race unfolds if it doesn't quote-unquote unfold perfectly, and I think that really is a big benefit in this kind of race.
Okay, best of luck, Doug.
You too. Thanks a lot, Art.
Thank you. The next question comes from Debbie Arrington of Sacramento Bee. Please go ahead.
Hi, Doug. Thank you so much for coming on this morning. Are you feeling any sort of deja vu, after your experience with I'll Have Another?
That's a great question, Debbie. Yeah, you do feel, like, God, I hope it has the same ending as I'll Have Another, at least the first two legs. But, you do feel after an I'll Have Another experience, like, wow, that was so incredible. I hope I soaked enough of that up because I don't know if I'll ever have another horse like that, so now with Nyquist trying to fill those shoes, it does get to a point where you, in an ideal world, you'd love to slow things down and really soak up every bit of brilliance of him, because you know how unique it is to get a horse like that in your barn. So it's I think a little bit more enjoyable this time because we've been there before and we can kind of soak it up a little bit more. But, there's a little deja vu there.
And with the horse, is there anything about Nyquist that reminds you of I'll Have Another?
Well, I guess with every good horse, and these two have that in common, is that they thrive on competition. They thrive on attention. And so that they have in common. I think Nyquist has displayed a lot more level-headedness than I'll Have Another. I'll Have Another was a little bit of let's go and let's do it now, and where Nyquist is more, he'll wait for Mario's cue to go. So that is an added bonus, really. But both of them, if they were in theater, they'd both be the lead, actor. they've got that kind of quality about them that they're very confident in themselves and they enjoy all the attention.
And is Nyquist an easy horse to work with?
He is. Early on, he was. He's never been studdish, but he could be a little tough. But again, I think just the day in, day out of hanging around Elias would be great with any animal, any human. If you knew anybody who was a little bit cranky and they hung around Elias for a couple weeks, they would calm down because he really is just a quiet, gentle soul. And I think to Elias's credit, we've seen Nyquist mature mentally very quickly, and he just continues to get more mature mentally and physically, and just very happy.
Very good. Best of luck.
Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you. The next question comes from Terry Keith of City News Service. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Doug. I'm wondering, I have a two-part question for you. One is whether you feel pressure having the Derby favorite, who's been the Derby favorite for quite a long time now. And the second part of it is if you can discuss the level of horses that have come from California to the Derby in the past few years.
Well, the first question, do I feel pressure? I normally shake all the time every morning, so that's totally normal. That's not right. No, of course, you... As much as you might say you don't feel pressure, it's a good pressure, though. I think I look at it that, I'd rather be the Derby favorite than a horse that just barely snuck into the Derby. So very much a focus on that fact that we're so blessed to be the Derby favorite as we speak. And as far as horses coming from California, I think our big edge here in California is just the weather is so beautiful every day. So everyone trains, whether you're a 10,000 climber or a grade one horse, everyone trains every day. And I really think, for the most part, the California horses are just a tad more fit than some other horses. And that's the only reason I can see, because the horsemanship in back east and down south and all over the country is top notch. So it's got nothing to do with that. I think it's got everything to do with how we're able to train every day, and the gentleman at Sanita, Dennis Moore, who handles the track, really keeps a good cushion on it in the morning. So horses, not only do they get to train every day, but they get a lot of fitness over that track at Sanita because of the cushion he keeps on there, and the horse's got to work a little bit to get through it. So I think that's what helps.
Thanks so much, Doug.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Dana O'Neill of ESPN.com. Please go ahead.
Doug, along the question about the pressure, I mean, obviously on the heels of what American Pharoah did last year, the general public perhaps is paying a little more attention to the first Saturday in May than before. How do you handle that additional pressure, knowing that there's sort of another audience that might be exposed to the sport and Nyquist could help even carry that further?
Yeah, I want to make sure Nyquist and our whole team represents this great sport in a proper way. So I don't know if it's pressure as much as it is. I think it's a great opportunity for all of us in the horse racing world to take advantage of what American Pharoah and his connections did. I mean, he took horse racing from the back page of the sports section, sometimes not even covered in the sports sections, to the front page of the sports section. So I look forward to having Nyquist be on the front of the sports section. I look forward to it being a real positive, good story for a great business that There's a lot of great people in. So I'm excited about the possibilities of, you know, us following up the great year American Pharoah had.
Have you noticed anything since then? Just, you know, people paying more attention. I don't mean obviously people who know the sport well, but just general public people. Have you had any experiences that make you think that things have changed?
Yeah. You know, where I live, it's kind of a beachy town, and horse racing really isn't on the tip of anybody's tongue around here. And a lot of people, because of American Pharoah last year, they're constantly asking me, you know, what do you think? You think a Pharoah's going to win? You think this and that? And that was really cool because I never thought I'd see that day. And now, of course, they're all excited about Nyquist. So it is definitely, you know, just the average person that glances through the sports section and listens to a little bit of sports talk radio, they now have heard a lot about horse racing in the last year and a half. And that's a credit to Pharoah, and hopefully Nyquist can carry the torch farther.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Richard Rosenblatt of Associated Press. Please go ahead.
Hey, Doug. How you doing?
Good, Richard. Thank you.
Good. Just a quick question on the influence of Uncle Mo on Nyquist and what you see in any of those similar qualities. And if you just talk on that, that would be excellent.
Yeah, well, I mean, Uncle Mo was a brilliant racehorse that, you know, his career was cut short. But, you know, he was won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and you know, he had worlds of talent. So I think we've seen a lot of the Uncle Mo offspring have shown a lot of talent as well, not having personally been around Uncle Mo, I'd have a hard time comparing the two. But, man, he was just a flat-out grade one racehorse, and it sure looks like his offspring are catching on just like Pops.
Yeah, it sounds like when you're talking about Nyquist that he's sort of mellow and very professional in what he does, and I think Uncle Mo is like that also. But when you were involved in purchasing Nyquist?
Oh, I was not. No,
was,
go ahead, sorry.
When the purchase was going out, was Uncle Mo a consideration because of any reason, or he just stood out?
Now, you know, my brother Dennis, who picked him out for Paul Redham, really just loved the individual. He loved the way he moved, and he picks out athletes that way, and then the pedigree is secondary. But once he fell in love with him as an individual, the Uncle Mo was just a huge added bonus because of how good he was. The other Uncle Mo's were really looking good in the sales, too, even though none of them had run yet. But there was definitely a buzz about Uncle Mo and how his babies were looking like runners, but you never know until they run. And fortunately, we jumped ahead of the hot Uncle Mo train.
All right. Thanks very much, Doug. We'll
Thank
see you,
you bud.
In Kentucky.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from Paul Nazer of Chicago Now. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. Question being, Mr. O'Neill, shifting directions to the Kentucky Oaks. Along with your winter book favorite, Nyquist, you've got a good horse in there, Land Over Sea. Talk about her. What are your shipping plans for Land Over Sea?
Thank you, Paul. Yeah, Land Over Sea coming off the big win at the Fairgrounds and the Fairground Oaks. She's doing really well, and we're penciling her into work on Friday as well at Keeneland, and then have the work go well, have her come out of it well, and then she's due to, with the rest of the barn, go to Churchill on Saturday.
Alrighty. How has she progressed from her win in New Orleans to do her work on Friday.
God, she's really progressing well, and you know, it's a filly that, you know, ran well first time out, you know, as a July 2-year-old, and here we are, you know, late April in her 3-year-old season, and she's just a bigger, stronger, mentally tough filly. So, you know, not having to knock heads with Songbird, with who she did 5 times in a row there, and getting out of town to the fairground and getting away from Songbird, it worked there. So we're hoping that Songbird recovers and doesn't run in Kentucky Oaks, we can follow up the Fairground Oaks win with a Kentucky Oaks win.
All righty. Thank you, and good luck on both the Oaks and Derby.
Great. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Ron Flatter of RSN Australia. Please go ahead.
Doug, I suppose the only thing more wrong than handicappers on Derby week is the weather forecast, but it does show a lot of wet coming up next week. Did Nyquist show enough to you with the slightly off track at the Florida Derby to keep you from worrying about that?
Not at all. You know, we joked on Florida Derby Day. My son was with us, and Paul Radom, who's a big kid at heart, and was goofing around with my son, that the track seemed better when it rained there at Gulfstream than when it was drying out and kind of loose. So he had my son do a little rain dance, and it was just pretty comical because within minutes it started raining, and it didn't look like it was going to. Now, you know, he's so well-balanced, he's so sure-footed that I don't think the ground will matter a whole lot, but I think a little bit of wet track and uncertain conditions for others would actually maybe be a benefit to us. So I don't see wet or dry of it being a problem.
And wet or dry, do you think you're chasing Dancing Candy and Outwork? Do you need to be close to them or try to get with them in any kind of a speed battle?
Yeah, that's where Mario is so good. He's so confident, and he gets along so well with Nyquist that I think a lot of it will depend on post positions. A lot of it will depend on how all three of us break. And there may be even a couple in there that change up their form and try to send. So, you know, having a long run to that first turn there at Churchill, I think, you know, whether you're in the one hole or the 20 hole, if you've got some gate speed like Nyquist does, you can kind of make some adjustments and just really want to be in a good position and just kind of play it by ear.
And finally, I know that this isn't exactly the foremost thing on your mind, but with the Detroit Red Wings out of the playoffs, have you heard that Gus is going to show up for the race?
That would be so cool if he did. I know the little bit I know is that Gus doesn't know much about horse racing, so he's even referred to races as how'd he do in that tournament. And so... So calling a race a tournament definitely tells you he doesn't know much about it. But I know Paul has just always been real – has really admired Gus's class and his perseverance and hard work on the ice, and that's why he chose to name him after Gus. And I think they have touched base a couple times, and I'm sure Paul and Zilla Redham have invited Gus Nyquist to the Derby, and it'd be great if he's not away on holiday. It'd be great to have him there, that's for sure.
All right. Good luck, Doug. See you next week.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Our last question comes from Tim Wilkin of Albany Times Union. Please go ahead.
Hey, Doug. I'm sure that you've watched some of the other preps and you know about all the horses that Nyquist will be facing a week from Saturday. What gives you the confidence that you'll be leading the best horse over to the Derby on that day?
Well, just because I don't know much about them, but I know a lot about Nyquist. And so just the horse that Nyquist is, I think that gives me the optimism that we're leading the best horse over. And, you know, I think his speed out of the gate and his stamina he has shown in all his races also gives me the optimism and confidence that we're leading the best horse over. But it is a quality field, a very evenly matched field, and you know we're going to need a lot of things to go our way to get it done. But I'm optimistic.
Doug, how often do people come up to you and basically are anointing Nyquist as the Triple Crown champion in lieu of what happened last year with Farrow and what he's done already this year? And if that is happening, does that bug you?
Not at all, but it's funny. I was in Charlestown the other night, and the people in Charlestown are just love horse racing, and they were so nice. I had so many people come up to me, and I had one particular guy come up to me and said, "You won't believe this. I got a bet down a few weeks ago in Vegas on Nyquist to win the Triple Crown." So I'm thinking he's going to say he got 100-1, 200-1. So I got him at 15-1. Do you believe that? And I was thinking to myself, 15-1. They're robbing you there, mister. But, you know, it was pretty cool to hear his love and passion and respect for Nyquist. And it didn't shock me that Vegas was giving out such poor odds.
Do you get a lot of that from people coming up and telling you stuff like that?
Yeah, probably a handful a week. Yeah, I do get it. It's cool. And I love it. And, yeah, anytime, you know, you've got a horse in your barn that people don't know you, they don't know the horse, and they just are fans of the horse. And it's just, God, you feel so blessed. So I love it. And hopefully, you know, horses like Nyquist and these other great horses that are in the Derby can bring some new fans to the table, and you know, we can show people how amazing these horses are.
Great, thanks.
You got thanked, Tim.
Thank you. I'll turn the call back to Mr. Mulvihill. Please go ahead.
All right, Doug, thank you so much for your time, and safe travels to you. We'll see you here in Kentucky.
Sounds good. Take care. Thanks a lot.
All right, Doug O'Neill, always amenable with the media, and we certainly appreciate that. Now, certainly, just as generous with his time this spring has been our next guest, and that is Kieran McLaughlin, trainer of Mohamen, the Fountain of Youth and Holy Bull winner, who was undefeated until his meeting with Nyquist in the Florida Derby. Mohamen was fourth in that race, but he posted a nice bull at work at Churchill just last week, and that made his last Gulfstream effort all the more puzzling. So we'll get to ask Kieran about that. Mohamen, of course, will still be among the top choices in the Derby based on his dominance in those earlier Florida preps. Kieran, you're on with Jim Mulvihill. Thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
Absolutely. So, you know, first I think we should recap the Florida Derby. You know, from my vantage point, you all made the only serious run at Nyquist. And it was pretty clear that they carried you wide into the stretch. So even though you finished fourth in that race, to me it's still the second best effort in the race. So I'm curious how you assess the result of the Florida Derby and looking back on it, what you think of the effort that day.
Well, we're going to draw a line through the effort, even though he didn't run terrible. Fourth was disappointing for us who didn't think he could lose, but I think the trip, you know, the day was hot, humid day, rain, track was wet. But I think he, you know, handled the track okay. It was just the distance traveled and where he was in the track might not have been the best part of the track out in the middle. But Nyquist beat us fair and square and had to run over the same track. So we're going to draw a line through it and say we're, you know, better off now than we were then. And we hope we can rebound from the race.
Sure, and now you move to a new track at Churchill Downs. So, you know, with that strong work last week, was that a relief to see how well he went over over the Churchill Downs surface?
Well, I have said this the other day. I'll say it again for everybody listening: is he's had two bad minutes in his whole life. So he works great all the time. He trains fabulous. Everybody's getting to see what I see every day. The track is a little quicker here, I think. You know, Palmetto's is pretty deep, so we anticipated him working fast. He's had 30, 47 and a few times at Palmetto's. So we thought he might work faster, but he's just a special colt, does everything right, and had 2 minutes that wasn't great this year, that's all.
All right. Well, let's open it up to the media. Michelle, you want to see who's got a question for Karen?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone at this time. We'll take our first question from Danny Brewer of HorseRacingScoop.com. Please go ahead.
Hey, Karen, how's it going?
Great, thanks.
How do you make those, the only bad 2 minutes of his life, into a good thing on May 7th? Or can you?
Yes, I think we can. Like I said, I think 54 feet traveling further than Nyquist and where we were on the track, it was very wet out there. It might not have been the best place to be early in the day. Todd Fletcher had a 4-5 shot in the Oaks that kind of ran the same spot and took the lead, turned for home, and then backed up to be third. And there weren't that many dirt races that day. So I just think that he can rebound and we can rebound, and I think we can turn the tables.
Obviously, from his work at Churchill, that has to be extremely encouraging that he really is the horse that you've always thought he was.
Yes, it was a little bit quicker than we normally like to see, but he did it well within himself, and he's going to have another work Friday or Saturday, and I think it'll be similar. Not hopefully 46-4, maybe 47-4, but yeah, he's a very sound, nice, special colt with a great mind, and I think that's a big plus on the day. He will be switched off and quiet like he always is in the paddock, and that's important because it's an hour and a half from the race before the Derby to the Derby, so the horses can get stirred up and worked up walking over, and he won't, I don't feel like.
Karen, I appreciate your time, man. I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Art Wilson, the Southern California Newspaper Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Karen, these horses are so fragile with their health and their soundness, and we had that kind of pointed out to us when Nyquist had a small hiccup after the Florida Derby, and, of course, Songbird has been knocked out of the Oaks. How stressful is it for you as a trainer to have to wake up each morning and just kind of be on pins and needles with the health and the soundness of your horses?
Well, it's definitely an issue at all times, and it's out of our control, so much of those issues. But luckily, this horse is very, very sound and has no hitch in his get-along. He does everything right. He's perfectly sound, but that doesn't prevent a temperature or a cough, and you have to worry about that every day.
And with the Derby, you know, with this race being, you know, normally a 1920 horse field with, you know, the mile and a quarter distance, the fact that the three-year-old, it's early in the year and they're still kind of up and down, a lot of them. I had an Eastern, a European trainer tell me once that he thought the Derby was the toughest race in the world to win. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would. It's tough to ask them to go a mile and a quarter first Saturday in May, and Mo Heyman's birthday is May 2nd, so he's not even 3 years old yet. And but the distance should not be a problem for us, and he moves great, no wasted motion, and does everything right, so we feel confident that we'll get the distance.
Okay. Best of luck, Kurt.
Thank you, Art.
Thank you. The next question comes from Tim Wilkin of Albany Times Union. Please go ahead.
Hey, Karen, how long did it take you to, or maybe you aren't over it yet, to get past the Florida Derby and the effort Mo Heyman threw in there?
It takes a lot of, you know, time to get over it, but I'm not one that looks back. We got to look forward, and we're happy we have a sound, nice horse out of the race and to move forward to the Kentucky Derby. It was a bad day that day for us, but we had some reasons for it. We felt like it, and now he's training great and doing well and no issues, so we're happy that if we can get in the starting gate next Saturday, we're all set.
I know it's a 20-horse field, but how much are you looking forward to the chance to run against Nyquist again on the big stage?
Well, it's not just Nyquist. You know, there's 18 others that we have to worry about, and hopefully we can turn the tables on him. But he's a very nice horse. Nobody's beat him yet, so he's the probable and likely and should be the favorite. But hopefully we can change things around. And, you know, the pace of the race is important, and there's seven or eight very nice deep closers, and we're in between the speed and the closer, so hopefully it sets up well for us and we draw a good post position.
Great. Thanks, Karen.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you. We ask that everybody limit themselves to one question. If we have time later, we will take more questions. The next question comes from Ron Flaherty of RSN Australia. Please go ahead.
Karen, did Mo Heyman show you anything in the Florida Derby that would suggest how he would be able to do on a wet track, even wetter potentially, as we're seeing the forecast for Churchill next week?
Well, I did. I thought he would actually love a wet track with just his makeup and his speed and everything and his pedigree, but obviously he didn't relish it. But, again, where he was on that track that day might not have been the best of the footing for any horse. And so this is a different track, and if it's raining, I think he will handle it fine. I'm not looking forward to finding out. Hopefully my forecast says 20% rain, so hopefully we don't get a wet track because I think a couple of them do move up in it, as in Exaggerator or a Nyquist.
I like your forecast better. Thanks, Karen. Good luck.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from John Preachy of HorseRaceInsider.com. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Dan. If we could get back to the Florida Derby for a moment. You know, we all kind of understand the grand loss and then the urgency to get into the race up for a turn that you had, the footing on the outside, and even Junior's explanation
about the colt, you know, slipping on the track really rang true, at least to me. My question concerns pre-race. As you mentioned, it was a hot, heavy, muggy, almost a summer-like day in Florida. Most horses were a little warm in the ring, including Mo Heyman. But to me, he just didn't seem like he had the same energy pre-race that I saw before and, frankly, after both the Holy Bull and Fountain of Youth. I mean, he seemed a very low energy, in my opinion. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, a few people had said that to me. He looked like he was half asleep in the starting gate. He's very quiet, and he, you know, does everything properly. He doesn't get hot and bothered ever. I mean, it was hot that day and might have got a little bit warm, but he's really good mentally. And if there were anything like that with him being quiet and not energy level, not high, I didn't really see it until after the race. He seemed pretty quiet, but he didn't have any issues, no temperatures, and no, you know, blood was good. Everything was good. So we're moving on and going to just draw a line through that, Rex.
Okay. I mean, the only reason I mentioned it is because, you know, again, pre-race before the other two preps, you know, you can see that. I don't know what the look of Eagles is, but I thought I saw it. and I really didn't see that on Florida Derby Day. That's why I thought maybe he was, you know, less energetic than he had been in the past. And maybe the weather, who was getting to a lot of people, including myself, got to him a little bit.
Yes, I would think it did. And we hope that he, you know, is back to himself. And he was shortly thereafter the race. But he's doing great. No issues at all.
Thanks a lot, Kieran. Have a safe trip on Saturday.
Thanks, John.
Thank you. The last question comes from Debbie Arrington of Sacramento Bee. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you, Karen, for coming on today. Now, we've been through, you know, the final four, so to speak, stepping up to this Derby. What do you think of class of 2016? And who do you think are the horses to beat besides your own and Nyquist in the Derby?
Well, it's a good group. I mean, it's hard to ever analyze all the three-year-olds early in April and May. There's a lot of nice horses out there. There's some really nice, serious closers. And there's some speed horses, and I think that, you know, Destin is a nice horse, Nyquist is a nice horse. If we get rain, Exaggerator's tough. So you know, I think there's Steve Asmussen, both of his horses are doing well. So there's a lot of nice horses in the race, and we just hope we draw a good post and have a good trip and everybody has a safe trip. The number 1 and 20 aren't ideal post positions, but after that, it's not that big a deal for everybody.
And what I was going to ask is if you could, you know, had the first pick of a post, what would it be?
10, because they load 2 at a time, and the 10 goes in last with the 20, and we're in the middle of the pack. But 10 to 16, anywhere in there would be the best.
Very good. Well, best of luck.
Thanks, Debbie.
Thank you. I will now turn the conference back to Mr. Mulvihill. Please go ahead.
All right, Karen, thank you so much for coming on. We'll look forward to seeing you at Churchill Downs next week.
Okay, thank you, Jim.
All right. Karen McLaughlin, a frequent guest on our calls the past couple years between Frosted and Mohaman, and we certainly appreciate his time. And now we're delighted to welcome in the newly elected, soon-to-be-inducted Hall of Fame trainer, Steve Asmussen. Steve is the second leading trainer of all time, first among those that are active. He's won 2 Eclipse Awards as Outstanding Trainer and managed 3 straight Horse of the Year winners between Curlin and Rachel Alexandra. This year he's got 2 of the top Derby contenders between Gunrunner and Creator, the Louisiana Derby and Arkansas Derby winners, respectively. And he's also got 4 fillies for the Oaks, a race he's won twice before. So maybe we'll get in a few questions about his Oaks fillies as well. Steve, it's Jim Mulvihill of the NTRA. Are you on with us? Perhaps not.
Just another moment, please.
All right. We saw Steve the other day at his barn after his Derby and Oaks contenders worked. That was yesterday at Churchill Downs. And he did mention that he would be coming from a meeting in Lexington, which is why we elected to have him on last to give him a little bit of time there. So we'll just give Steve another minute, and hopefully we'll connect with him soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. We will continue momentarily. Thank you for your patience. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we do thank you for your patience. The conference call will continue momentarily. Ladies and gentlemen, we do appreciate your patience. Please do not disconnect your lines. The conference call will continue momentarily. Please go ahead, Mr. Mulvihill. Mr. Mulvihill, please go ahead.
Yes. Steve, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. All right. Well, thanks for joining us. I know you had a busy afternoon, so we appreciate the time. And congratulations on the Hall of Fame, a very much deserved honor.
Oh, thank you. You're very proud of that. Great call to be able to call your parents up and tell them that they raised the Hall of Famer. I'm very excited about that.
Excellent. And before we get to the Derby horses, a little bit more on the Hall of Fame, would you mind telling us how you got the news and what your reaction was in that specific moment?
Well, I had a missed call, and then I received a text and returned a call and, told that I had been, had enough votes or was elected into this year's class, which is, what an honor to be able to go in the same year as Rachel Alexandra, as much as she's meant to my career and what a special mare she is. So, coming together in a beautiful way.
Very good. And for those that don't know, trainers become eligible for the Hall after 25 years with a license. So when you think back on, more than a quarter century and the progress of your career, what comes to mind when you think of all those years?
Well, it's very unique that, in our Hall of Fame that you're still an active participant when it's being voted on. I personally just feel like we're in the middle of this and we've got a lot of great things left to do, but it is a reflective moment in some of the accomplishments of the barn that, that have been made possible, but just by some outstanding people with a tremendous amount of talent and a great work ethic, and just very, proud of the whole staff and the barn and how much that they have done, and to be recognized on this level is an amazing honor. And I do think that hopefully we can learn from what we've done and continue to do good going forward. But the timing of it, with it being, the announcement coming 12 days before the Derby, when we have two excellent chances, we feel going in is very exciting, but obviously you feel like there's a lot left to accomplish.
Very good. And let's talk a little bit about those Derby horses. I'm sure we'll have more questions from the media about the Hall of Fame, but, maybe starting with Gunrunner, we had David Fisk on this call a few weeks ago, and he talked about the confidence that you showed in Gunrunner starting his year off in a grade two race like the Risen Star. So could you just tell us what were your expectations for a horse of Gunrunner's quality coming into 2016?
Well, I think, you talk about coming into 2016. 2015, Gunrunner, tremendous pedigreed horse at the time, was in the Nile Brennan consignment at OBS March. Dr. Lambert, pointed out Gunrunner. Obviously, love the horse pedigree-wise, physically. Actually, put in a very good move during the Breeze Show. Inquired, with Ron, Mr. Winchell, and David about the possibility of purchasing. At the time, Three Chimneys owned him, as well as, I believe, Best Loop continues to own a small percentage of him or some percentage of him. And, we're able to put that deal together where Three Chimneys stayed in on him, and it's been a great partnership. But he came into the barn with extreme high expectations, and the horse has fulfilled all of them. From every breeze, every gallop, he has been the horse that we had wanted, we were hoping that he was. Broke his maiden in September at Churchill in good fashion over a mile. I thought he ran an impressive other than at Keeneland. And then the race in the Kentucky Jockey Club where he was fourth, I think the form going into and coming out of that race makes it quite obvious, of the quality of horse that he is. So that is what the basis of our confidence for him starting off 2016 in a graded stake was. I feel He's always been at a very high level and shown a lot of talent against top-class horses.
And the Louisiana Derby turned out to be a pretty quality race this year with the horses that he beat. But not only did he win, he really dominated that field and seemed to even have a little extra kick there when Tom's Ready was making up a little bit of ground. Just talk about his effort in that race.
Well, I think that we feel that those are both the Rhythm Star and the Louisiana Derby are building blocks to where we are today with him. Just outstanding pedigree horse, being by Candy Ride out of a, graded stakes winning Giants Causeway mare that just happens to be the half sister to Horse of the Year St. Liam. Everything about his pedigree suggests he will get better with age. I think we are seeing this. That's why we did, collectively choose the two prep, beginning of the year before the Derby because to allow for his physical development. But I think the talent has always been there, and we do know that we will have to run faster in the Kentucky Derby than we've run this year, but we feel that we are set up to do so.
Excellent. Well, Steve, I'm going to open up the floor to the media, and we'll get some questions on Creator and I'm sure a little bit more on the Hall of Fame. Michelle?
Okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press star 1 at this time. The first question comes from Danny Brewer of HorseRacingScoop.com. Please go ahead.
Steve, how are we doing today?
I'm doing very well.
You've had two horses in the Derby 4 other times, but this may be the best two horses that you've had coming in. Would you agree with that?
No, Curlin is the best chance I've ever had at anything every day. but I do think that we've learned from those experiences and we've put ourselves in a better position coming into this year's Derby.
When you've got two horses, of this caliber, Louisiana Derby winner, Arkansas Derby winner, as a Hall of Fame trainer, is that where you really earn your stripes? Because handling the pressure of not one but two like this?
Pressure would be if you weren't good enough, if the horses weren't fast enough. I'm extremely, right now, watching the works yesterday that they put in and how they came out of it. I'm just extremely proud of the whole team, of the physical condition and the mental shape that they're in going into the Derby. I think that is our responsibility and what we have control over. How fast the competition is or how fast they are actually as individuals is out of our hands. But I think that we are at our best when it matters most. And that still may not be enough, but that is our responsibility is and what has us so excited about this year's running of the Derby.
Appreciate it, man, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Ron Flatter of RSN Australia. Please go ahead.
Steve, whether the weather forecasts are accurate or not, there is a fair amount of rain showing up in next week's forecast. Both of these horses have not only run in the rain, but they've run in the rain at Churchill. How big of an advantage is that?
Well, I do feel very comfortable about them training at Churchill. Both of these horses spent a lot of time here last summer and last fall, and I really have seen that with Gunrunner shipping in from the fairground as well as Creator shipping in from Arkansas. When they went to the track, they've known where they've been very comfortable, very relaxed in their stall. I think it's been a very positive experience for them off of their last race. And it needed to be. We were able to stay on schedule with our works, with what we thought we needed to do because I thought it was very seamless. Their arrival into Churchill and then going to the track on their normal schedule. But both horses are very athletic, and I don't think that the going would ever be an excuse for either one of them because of how they both move over the ground.
The fact that Gunrunner tends to be near the lead and that Creator's a closer, does that make it easier for you to set up the race with your jocks, or does it make any difference whatsoever?
It's an excellent conversation for us on what we when you imagine a race, you work out a scenario in your head which is favorable to you and how you would want it to unfold. I feel very good about how sharp or life, you know, how much life Gunrunner is showing. And he's always been a very handy horse, so I think he's capable of attending the pace or at least not letting it get away from him in that regard, even though it's, I believe it's obvious a couple of horses have more, better quarter of a mile than he does. But, and then Creator, out the back the last couple of races of his, has been very confident off of his Arkansas Derby win. So I do think that we will have a few more options with Creator than we've had in the past. But I do believe that the horses are a complement to each other.
Thank you, Steve, and congratulations again on the Hall of Fame.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from Art Wilson, the Southern California Newspaper Group. Please go ahead.
Yes, Steve. As the caretaker for these horses, not only do you have to devise the right training schedule, but you also have to spend a lot of your waking hours worrying about their soundness, if they come up with any illness or whatever. How stressful is that for you as a trainer to have to worry about these horses and, you know, how fragile they are with their soundness and their health?
The Songbird situation is extremely eye-opening to us, and we realize how fortunate we are to be in this position and that nothing's a given. You know, for a dominant filly like her to be eliminated from this opportunity over a temperature, as you mentioned, shows how fleeting or fragile or how unique the opportunity is. And I'm pretty positive thinker, expect everything to work out. But as I mentioned earlier in the call, the thing I'm the proudest of is the condition in which these horses have arrived to this state.
And I had a European trainer tell me a couple of years ago that considering all the different factors in the Kentucky Derby, that he believes that it's the toughest race in America to win or in the world to win. Would you agree with that?
Oh, it has been for me. You know, I think you work out this, you know, you think of the scenario which is favorable for each horse, but you realize how you can be eliminated. You know, it's quite obvious that there's not much pace in the race. It eliminates Creator's chance. If Gunrunner is eliminated in the first quarter of a mile, you know, being run over, you know, putting the grain, you know, so many things that can eliminate you from an opportunity to run your best race. You go in there in the best shape you can be, wanting to run your best race, and then you're really hoping that you get the opportunity to do it.
Okay. Best of luck and congratulations on the Hall.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if there are any additional questions, please press star 1 at this time. Our next question comes from Debbie Arrington of Sacramento Bee. Please go ahead.
Hi, Steve, and thank you so much for coming on the call this morning. And congratulations on your Hall of Fame vote, you know, your induction coming up this August. After all the criticism of your barn over the last few years, do you feel vindicated by this Hall of Fame vote?
Feel very good about all the support, the continued support we had from within, you know, from the people that knew us. And, mm-hmm. You know, it's very special for people to stand up and reassure us that they believed in us and allowed this to, you know, to be in the position we're in this year so soon from such controversy.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's well deserved. And you've alluded to the Derby being elusive for your barn. You've got two, you know, great shots with these. What gives you the confidence that this might finally be the ones?
These two individual horses are very special. I mean, they just personality-wise, ability-wise, you know, Creator's just blossomed before our eyes. And to think, you know, six times to break his maiden, just had ability, kind of raw, not a lot of focus. Just to watch him train over the last month, 5 weeks from the colt that was here last fall, it's very exciting. He's got a sense of direction, a sense of purpose, a sense of calm about that he didn't have previously. He just, his focus is coming in at the right time. Just like watching his work yesterday, it was 9 days off of his race. He went away from the pole willingly, you know, very responsive to the rider. And this isn't the horse, that was not what he was showing us last fall. And for him to be improved from a mental aspect so much, it's exciting. And then Gunrunner's work, I thought, you know, 12-1 here at Churchill after the break, out in 39, is very few horses are capable of doing that. And it just, that separates them, and that has us excited and a great amount of confidence. You know, when you can see how they, you know, rest in their stall, eat up, you know, it's not overwhelming to them. It puts a smile on everybody involved in it, on our face, and makes us feel good about our chances. And you can dream of a scenario, pace scenario, race setup scenario, which would favor either one of them that would allow them to win.
And what do you think of this class of 2016, this particular Derby Cup? Are people going to, you know, come away saying, wow, these were really great horses?
Well, I think that every year is defined by what they get done after this. You know, Street Sense, Curlin, Hard Spongier. I think the fact that year they went on and every time they ran against older horses, they beat them, how dominant they were through the end of the year, you look back and say you always knew it. But I think all of us in horse racing are considerably better handicappers after the race run.
Very good. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from John Preachy of HorseRaceInsider.com. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Steve. Kudos on your induction and for winning those two preps coming into the Derby. Well done, sir.
Thank you.
These guys are coming in great, and they're coming in different ways that from a historical perspective makes you ask these questions. I'd like you to also talk about the, you know, the few lengths. You said Gunrunner needs to get faster. You know, how many lengths, you know, are you going to give us a week from Saturday? Also, from that historical perspective, we've got, you know, Creator coming in off 3 weeks off the race of his life. And you have another one, Gunrunner, coming in off 6 weeks, which historically nobody's done that. So does that figure into your plans? Does that bother you? Does it give you pause at all?
Pretty much by design. Gunrunner, I thought that the ability level that he showed last year was in the realm of the classics. With the Kentucky Jockey Club, you know, Air Force, the winner of the race, coming right out of the Breeders' Cup at Keeneland, you know, more spirit than what he had done immediately afterwards, Hollywood Futurity, Motom. It was a very good running of it, and I thought that that was a good parameter of this three-year-old's crop and as good as they were going to be, and felt that the spacing of the Louisiana Downs, or the Fairgrounds races at Louisiana, were appropriate to allow him to physically develop. I think from a pedigree standpoint, he is a horse, you know, being at a half-sister to St. Liam by Giants Causeway, that a little age will improve him tremendously. And with the being able to win at the Fairgrounds, which has always been an excellent surface, having two races, plenty of spacing, not too much travel, it allowed him to physically develop. But I thought that he, in the last year, that he had signaled that he was of this caliber and just felt that the two races at the Fairgrounds and the spacing of us allowed for him to develop physically to be at his best now. After the Louisiana Derby, speaking with Ron Winchell as well as Mr. Torrealba, we were talking about how he's coming our way. And Ron said, will he be where we want him to be in 6 weeks or 6 months? Well, we're 11 days from finding that out. But I think that the horse identifying himself last fall as this caliber, it was much easier to plan with it, whereas Creator has earned his way. And I think that the focus that he has shown through his last three races is quite obvious compared to his previous races. And he is getting better at the right time.
Well,
that he is, neither one have taken a backward step recently, and that's why you deserve congratulations on the two prep wins, and have a safe trip a week from Saturday.
I appreciate it, and it will be needed.
Thank you. The next question comes from Tim Wilkin of Albany Times Union. Please go ahead.
Hey, Steve. In Creator's case, when he started his 2016, he had three races in 36 days. Then after the Rebel, he had some almost a month until the Arkansas Derby. We all saw what he did in the Arkansas Derby. With added time off to Churchill, the Derby, do you expect even a bigger performance that he could give you with more rest?
I would have been hesitant to answer that question until yesterday's work, and I thought that he showed a sense of direction and a willingness that was the best I've seen from him yet. And, obviously Elliot was over for his work, and we definitely like the signals the Creator is giving us. He did have a significant amount of racing early, but I do feel that a late-running horse running 3/8 last quarter of a race, it doesn't seem to take as much out of them physically as a pace attendant or a horse that's in there battling the whole way around the race. I just do think that he has improved his focus as well as his finish in his races, and that has allowed him to be in the position we're in today.
I know you've talked about how high you are on these horses, but do you think they're coming into this race a little under the radar?
No, I thought yesterday's works put them on everybody's radar because they see the physical condition in which they are in, and know that I think it's obvious they have not done anything previous to today that would be good enough to win the Derby, but with where they're at physically and mentally, their best is ahead of them, and we're just hoping that it is in 11 days.
Great, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Tom Jika of Sun Sentinel of South Florida. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Steve. Congratulations on the Hall of Fame. Could we talk a little bit about the Oaks? With Songbird out, there are reports you might run four or five. Is it fair to say you wouldn't have been considering that many if Songbird was still in? And as someone who's really raced with most, either against or at circuits where the others have run, could you just analyze the field? Who are the fillies you feel are at the top of the crop?
Well, as you mentioned, you know, Songbird coming out, her being so dominant in the division, and I think that several horses had learned to avoid her previous to this, that I feel very strongly about our fillies and how we're coming in, but the deletion of Songbird puts us in that position. I do, of the outside fillies, that we are training, obviously I'm a bit of a homer with the Rachel Valentina, the daughter of Rachel Alexander, and just knowing she's Rachel's daughter, she would be the most obvious to me.
And what about your fillies?
They complement each other in the fact that very different race running styles. With Songbird out of the race, it's just the shape of the race, the pace of the race will not be near as obvious. So I think that there will be quite a bit of jockeying to be done there. Tara Promessa is a filly, a curling filly who has done very well and developed nicely. She is starting to be more aggressive in her races, see her being somewhat forwardly placed. The Royal Obsession, the filly that was second in the Gazelle, I think benefits from a mile and an eighth, but would be aided from a considerable amount of pace. The Taxable is a beautifully bred filly, being a tappet out of a half sister to Summerlee, who we did win the Oaks with. And with only three races, how much better she's going to get, I think that there's a possibility there. But we wouldn't be considering all these fillies if Songbird was running.
Have you had to make any last-minute improvisations because of that? All of a sudden, hey, we got a shot at the Oaks.
I think we're a very, very, very fortunate that we stable at Churchill this time of year, and they would be here. So I'm not too out of the box. We didn't send them anywhere they wouldn't have already been. We just are stabled here at Churchill, the Phillies stable here. All of the Phillies have run here, so we don't have that variable or obstacle to overcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Mike Kane of NBC Sports. Please go ahead.
Hi, Steve. I'd like to know how long it took you to reply to the text from the Racing Museum.
I got to share it with my beautiful wife, Julie. Was with eating lunch with her when I got it, and just a very special moment. And it's been a very nice party this summer. That's with family and friends.
You've had plenty of exciting high moments. Can you just describe what it felt like to you personally when you were notified that you were going into the Hall of Fame this year?
The Hall of Fame is very special to me because, signifies my family's accomplishments. And, and when I say my parents growing up in a racing family, and, my parents are still very involved with the barn, a huge part of it. And, just to have the opportunity to make your parents that proud, doing something that they've dedicated their lives to, is a very special thing. I'm extremely grateful to all the help and, for a trainer and everything that goes into what we've accomplished and the position we're in is dependent upon so many people, and I'm just, very grateful for that. But selfishly, just the opportunity to make my parents that proud is something I wanted to be able to do.
Were there a few tears on that conversation?
Oh, absolutely. I'm very emotional about my family.
Thank you so much, and congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. I will now turn the call back to Mr. Mulvihill.
All right, Steve. Well, thanks for coming on the call. We really appreciate the time, and congratulations again from everyone here at the NTRA on being elected to the Hall of Fame.
No, thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, Steve Asmussen. He's going to look for his first Derby win 11 days from now. And I just got to say, every time I've ever talked to that man about horses, I think I learned something new. A lot of good stuff in there. For anybody that wants to listen back to it, the audio file of this call will be on NTRA.com later today, and then there'll be a transcript up there tomorrow. Thanks to all of our guests, and thanks to all of you for calling in and reporting on the Triple Crown. I'll be on site at Churchill Downs next week, so feel free to contact me if there's anything I can do to help with your coverage. And as a last note, we'll be back in 2 weeks on May 12th, that's a Thursday, for our Preakness preview with guest moderator Jim Gluckson. Now I'm going to send it back to our operator, Michelle, to wrap it up.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude the conference call for today. You may now disconnect your line and have a great day.